programs out here for a little while. We've been working on 1 Kings for a little while, but we're moving the stories of Elijah and possibly the stories of Elisha to Sunday mornings. There's some different things I'd like to share with the whole congregation. And I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do on Wednesday nights during the summertime while we're talking about Elijah and Elisha. I know last year I enjoyed looking at some different passages of scriptures in the book of Proverbs, and that's what we're going to do this evening. We might consider doing some of our Ephesus series on Wednesday night. You'd be praying about what the Lord would lead us to do for that. So you'd be praying for God's working power when it comes to our teaching and preaching of the Word of God. We don't just come to hear and just check off our list, yeah, I came to church. That's not why we come. We come to God would work in our hearts and work in our lives, and you pray for me as I prepare and study for these messages. And tonight, we're going to look in Proverbs chapter number 2. I really enjoy the passages of Scripture that's found here. It's at the beginning of the chapter. It talks about where wisdom comes from, talks about how to get wisdom, talks about the fear of the Lord. And that fear of the Lord is connected with so many different promises. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it tells us. Job 28:28 puts it this way. And unto man he said, behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So here's what Job was saying in Job 28 is that the fear of the Lord, that is what true wisdom is. If we learn to have a reverence and respect of God, a standing of all of God, opportunity that I don't want to disappoint God, I don't want to fail God, I see him as my creator, I see him as the maker, I know he is my Lord, I bow to him, and I fear him because I just don't want to do anything against him. That's where wisdom begins. And then it says, and to depart from evil means you understand the wisdom. Departing from evil is wisdom. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word. And here it's found how we can have the fear of the Lord. And it says here in Proverbs chapter number 2 about this. And let's go ahead and read, and then we'll continue on a little bit in an introduction form. But I love this chapter. I love especially the first 10 verses. The Bible says, my son. Now, most of the Proverbs are written by Solomon. We know that. And it's kind of written in a form that he's writing to his son. And most would consider that would be Rehoboam. It's kind of neat to think about. We've been studying Solomon, and we've been studying Rehoboam. And here we have, see, Solomon writing something to his son. And he says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. So if we do what verses 1 through 4 says, then we're going to truly understand the fear of the Lord. And what did we learn that the fear of the Lord was? The fear of the Lord is wisdom. But understanding means that we're going to depart from evil. Let's keep on going. And then it says, and find the knowledge of God. And many times we wonder what God thinks about something. It's in there. And we can learn to develop it. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So we see here, the Lord is the one that gives wisdom. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Then he continues in verse number 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. I like that. Sometimes we don't know the way to go, but God preserves that way and that proper way. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment, equity, yea, every good path. And I like that verse because we think we know what righteousness is. We think we understand what judgment is and proper judgments are. But this seems like there's some things here that we have to know and understand before we can ever get to that spot of truly having the knowledge of what equity is and yea, every good path, what the good path is. I mean, how many of us want to know what path to go down? I know I do. I don't want to spend my whole life just continuing on, staying busy and busy and busy and not be on the path that God wants me to be. It's be a waste of time. Might as well just send it home and just go home and do whatever because of the fact that Somebody's stomach's growling, it sounds like. Maybe not. They're really hungry. Verse number 10, for when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. So this happens when what happens? And we're going to go back and look at that and kind of work our way down this passage of Scripture. But I'm interested in verse number 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. I don't know how many times people say, okay, can you explain the fear of the Lord to me? And I'm not even sure if we can get the whole knowledge and the whole understanding of it. What does it mean to fear the Lord? And it's when we understand God and understand His Word and how we find it, then we will have the knowledge of God and we'll understand where He is and where we stand in His presence and who He is and what we should be doing. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am so thankful for You and thankful for today. It's been a busy day for many of us, including me, and thankful that we can just be here and be around Your Word. Give us a desire for wisdom. Give us a desire to not just want to have knowledge, but wisdom from on high. Help us not just hear the words tonight, help us to apply those things. Help us not to just receive the words, help us to hide them into our hearts. Lord, speak to us tonight through this. Help us to get a little bit more thirstier for the Word of God. Help us to see where prayer is involved in the understanding of the Word of God. And help us to ask God and seek what truly the fear of God is. And as we understand it, we'll learn to depart from evil. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Give me the words You once said. In Jesus' name, amen. So, trying to understand this a little bit, we're just going to go ahead and take some of the phrases found in verses 1 through 5 and just kind of walk through those a little bit, and hopefully we'll understanding the fear of the Lord. We'll get some understanding and some truths that are there. I want to understand the Lord. I want to know what the fear of the Lord is because it's the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. So if we truly want wisdom, these are some things we have to do. Verse number 1, my son, if thou will receive my words. So when you think about that, if we're going to pursue the Scriptures, our first steps is to appreciate what we're handling. It's the Word of God. It's the richness of the Word of God. Solomon knew that he could not force feed these things to someone else. I don't know about you, but about your relationship with your parents. Sometimes there is wisdom that your parents want to extend to you that maybe is not the easiest to receive, and different reasons. My dad's here tonight. I'm thankful. I haven't even got to see him until he got here, and until I came into church. And I know growing up, I didn't always want to hear what he had to say. But, you know, now I've learned over the years that there's wisdom there, and I want to receive them because where it comes from. And Solomon is saying, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. And if we go back and we think about Rehoboam, what was Rehoboam's problem? The reason why the kingdom was taken away from him was because he chose not to listen to the counsel of the older. He chose to listen to the counsel of the younger and the people that were his friends and his buddies. The older men said, hey, look, if you will be a servant to them today, they will be a servant to you forever. And he didn't want to hear that. And sometimes I'm wondering how often we receive the words of God. They're there for the taking. They're accessible. It's the idea of receiving what is being said. Now, you're here tonight, and I know that most of you are here tonight, and you're here because you chose to be here, and you want to be here, and you want to hear what the Bible says, and you're receiving what the Word says. And so when we look to studying, finding out what the fear of the Lord is, understanding what wisdom is, the first thing we got to do is understand, hey, I want to receive the Word of God. I want to take it in. That idea of receive is kind of used in a form of word of a hospitality. It's something that we would someone that we would receive into our house. It's somebody that we would put the welcome mat out and say, okay, please come on in. We want you to be here. We want you to understand, you know, we want you to be a part of our house for a little while. And so when we come to the Word of God, when we come to the preaching of the Word of God, it's something we need to put the welcome mat out and say, hey, I want to take in everything that you're saying. Now, you say, okay, well, maybe that's not true about the preaching. It should be, hopefully. I know sometimes it seems like people want to get out of the preaching and much less should want to be a part of it. And they should want to be in here, being part of the services because it's God's Word. It's not about the preacher. It's God's Word. But okay, what about your own study? So when we get up in the morning or in the evening times and we're thinking about the Word of God and it's there, and I know sometimes people say, I have trouble understanding the Bible. It's too hard. It's too rough. Are you putting out the welcome mat? Are you saying, okay, I want to take in what's being said here. I'm not just reading for devotional sake. I'm not just reading because the Bible says I have to. I need to check it off my list so I can consider myself a good Christian and I can just keep on going on with my day. But instead, I have a heart attitude that I want to receive what God's word has for me tonight. And that's the way I think you should come for preaching. I want to receive. It's not how many bad jokes the pastor says, not how many words he mispronounces, not how many jokes, you know. It says, I want to receive what God's word is saying, whether it's through preaching or whether it's through the learning of God's word or even through reading good other books. There's good books out there you can read that you can take things in that applies the word of God. But he's saying, receive my words. I wonder how many of us really receive the words of God. You say, Pastor, I'm here. I get it. I know we're all here. I know we all want wisdom. I know we all want to understand what the fear of the Lord is. I know we all want to be able to depart from evil. I know we all want the promises that are found in the Bible. I know we all desire those things. This is how it begins. This is the first step. I'm going to receive them. I'm going to accept them. Just like I'm inviting someone into my house, inviting someone into my office, I'm receiving them as a guest. I'm receiving the word of God and saying, okay, I want it to enter in. I don't want to just come in, go in one ear, go out the other ear. I want it to come in and I want it to stay. Okay, so that's the first step. What's the second step? It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, now look at the next one, and hide my commandments with thee. Not only must we let the word in, we must let it get down into recesses of our heart. We must hide the word in our hearts. So that's what the Bible is saying here. We put it in our hearts. And I know that you say, Pastor, okay, I'm here. I'm listening. I read my Bible. But memorization is completely off the list. I struggle with it. It's hard. I can't figure out how to do it. And I know that I've heard that. And I know as I get older and older, that doesn't seem like my mind is as sharp as it used to be. And memorizing is not as easy as it used to be. And so are you not only just receiving the word of God? He says, I want you more than just receive it. I want you to take the things and I want you to hide them in my heart. I thought about that word hide for a second. And ever hid anything before in your life? And what's the point of hiding something? You hide something somewhere where nobody else can find it. Now, the problem is when we hide something, we don't remember where we left it at. I know I've done that before. The great thing about hiding God's word in your heart, you don't have to remember where you left it at. That's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit's the one that brings it up to memory. The Holy Spirit's the one that can bring that to your memory. It talks about the sword of the Spirit and how we sharpen that sword. And, you know, what type of sword? And we use the illustration. What type of sword are you giving the Holy Spirit? Are you giving a little pocket knife? Or are you giving them a machete? You know, how much word of God are you putting into his heart, putting into your heart? So it actually is saying here, not only are you supposed to pull out the welcome mat, okay, I want to take God's word, but you're actually supposed to take those words and put them in a place that is going to be secret inside your own heart recesses, and it's there. They're never be taken away again. If you learn the word of God and you study the word of God and you sit there and you memorize the word of God and memorize the word of God, it's in there. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one that can bring that up to your attention. And remember, and I'm not the best at quoting. You hear me when I'm speaking many times say, well, that's not a perfect quote, but this is what it's saying about, because that's just not one of my gifts. But I still do my best to try to memorize the scriptures. So as the Lord brings it up to my mind and spirit, there are things that can help me and I can learn and I can grow. And you know what? This is how we're going to understand the fear of God. Do you want to understand who God is? Here it is. These are things that we need to think about. Let's keep on going. Verse number 2. So not only does it say that we should receive the word to hide in our hearts, and then it says, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom. Now, that word incline actually literally means to sharpen the hearing, to on purpose listen for it. I know sometimes when our kids were little and maybe they were in the other room and they were sleeping in the crib, and my wife would listen on purpose. Was that Andrew? Probably wasn't Andrew, because man, he was loud. He could cry really loud. Was that Christian? And sometimes we are listening on purpose. I know sometimes when you're there and you're having a conversation with somebody else and somebody comes a couple feet away from you, they don't want to act like they're listening, but they're kind of eavesdropping. What are they doing? They're sharpening their hearing. They are focusing on one thing specifically that they want to hear, and their intention is that they are inclining their ear. They are specifically focusing on that one thing. I know sometimes in a room that has lots of noise that are going on, I know we have that problem in the back, and I think the soundboards help a lot. Maybe someday we'll even get better at that in the back. But when I'm sitting across the table from somebody, I have to listen intently. Sometimes people talk soft. And you lean in because you want to hear what they're saying. You're inclining what it's saying here so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom. So not only are we putting the welcome mat out, and not only are we hiding it into our heart, we are actually leaning in. And we are saying, I am letting no other distractions around me. I am focusing in on what is being said to me. That's how we're going to understand God. Is when we take our time to receive the words, hide them in our heart, and then to lean in and say, okay, God, what is it that you want for me? If you choose to do your Bible reading in prayer time, some other time, other than the beginning of the morning, I think you should always start your day with, you know, a prayer, always start your day with some type of encouragement to help build up the strength. But I don't know about you, but when I set it aside to later on the day, I can do it when I get to the office. There's all types of distractions that happen. There's all things that happen, and I don't get the chance to incline. I don't get the chance to take my ear and just kind of lean in. That's where it is. The difference between just, I think wisdom is a problem. I don't think many people seek wisdom. I think that's an understanding we see here, that God gives us wisdom. These are the prerequisites to getting the wisdom. You know, Bible says, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. With all that knowledge, you get understanding. It's the principal thing. It's more important than anything else. Now, get wisdom. Now, how do you get it? You get it from God. How do you learn it? You learn to fear the Lord. And then the understanding is when we depart from the Lord. So how do I get it? And here are some of the things. We roll out the welcome mat. We hide it in our hearts. And we incline our ear. Now, the next step is what separates the men from the boys. Well, that sounds kind of sexist. You're not talking about, no, it's written to my son. It applies to all of us, but it separates the men from the boys. We've heard that terminology before. Look what it says next. And applying thy heart to understanding. So not only do we listen and receive it, memorize it, listen closely, we apply it to our lives. I don't know how many times I've heard wisdom from certain people and I just didn't apply it. You know, here is truth. Truth is not going to help you if you don't apply it to your life. Here is wisdom. This is what you should do. If I don't apply it to my life, the wisdom does not help me, except to show me what I did wrong and to be a constant reminder. So if we truly want to understand God and we truly want to pursue the word of God, we're going to have to receive it. We're going to have to apply it to our situations. And only then will we truly have wisdom in the Word of God. Now, is that easy? How many of us have read our Bibles and we walked away thinking, I don't know what I just read? I think it's good, for me, I think it's good to read certain portions of Scripture, a certain number of chapters or a chapter a day, read it as you would read a book. But I think it's even more important to take a certain portion of Scripture and focus in on that Scripture and focus in on what's being said here. If you take maybe three chapters a day and you read that three chapters every day for a month, one preacher does three chapters every day for 3 months and studies out those three chapters, you will have things that are inside your heart that no one can ever take away from you, and it's something you will have knowledge for the rest of your life. You might say, well, that's overkill, but you're going to have an understanding. You're going to know something instead of just reading and reading and reading and not knowing anything. Coming to church and coming to church and coming to church, but not having any Bible, real true Bible knowledge. Yes, we have head knowledge, but applying it to our hearts and applying it to our lives, there's people that are just, that do not have a great understanding of certain truths in the Bible because they've never taken the time to learn the way it's saying here. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't read your Bible through in a year. I'm not saying that. But if you've been reading through Bible for years, I'm sure there's some things that you picked up. But if you don't have a good understanding of the doctrines of the Bible and the truths of the Christianity, maybe it's taking certain portions of the Bible and learning it and reading it and understanding it to a point that you read it over and over till you have it. Now, I'm not saying that there's not, remember, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's all profitable. It's profitable for what? It's profitable for that correction and that rebuke, and it's profitable for all those things, instruction in righteousness. So here's the next thing. Now, I like I said, I told you before, I've liked this passage of scripture and liked it for a number of years. But there's something, and as I was looking at it, it kind of hit me a little bit more different tonight. Verse number 3, it speaks about the prayer that's involved, the prayer of the saints. So I'm reading my Bible, I got it, I'm focused in, I'm here, I'm welcoming it in, and I'm trying to memorize it, and I am listening in, and I'm applying it to my life. I got that. But here's the next step. It's very important. It's prayer. Look what it says. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. So this is not saying that we cry out the words that we're learning. That's not what's being applicable here. It's saying when we cry out after knowledge. Well, who gives us knowledge? It's God. And then lifted up thy voice for understanding. True wisdom comes from God. Knowledge is how to apply that wisdom to our lives. So if we are crying after that knowledge and we are lifting up our voice for understanding, guess what? We're praying. But look at the intensity that they're praying with. They're crying out. They want God's way. They want God's wisdom. They're praying with intensity. They're crying after knowledge. They lift up their voice. This is not mundane. This is not ritualistic. This is not even going down a prayer list. If you went through our prayer journey, we told you there was a spot there that we should take a few verses of scripture and try to learn this and pray those things and ask God, show me what these things mean. And that's what I'm saying. It's crying after knowledge. And I know so many times, there are times in our life when we get to a spot and we're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And we go to God and we beg God, God, show me, please, God. I'm begging you. Show me. I need to know. But we're not doing verses 1 and 2. We have not received the words. We have not hidden the words. We have not listened and leaned into listening. And then we have not applied what we have learned. But we're saying, God, I want you to preserve the way of the saints. I want you to send me in the right direction. I want to know what I'm supposed to do. Yes, you're supposed to cry after that. You're supposed to seek after that. It's the intensity that you're crying with. But don't forget verses 1 and 2. And in verse number 4, not only does it speak of intensity, it speaks of a persistence too. Praying with persistence. Think about what it says in verse number 4. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You ever looked for something and sought for it? We were, our teenagers went out to an escape room a few weeks ago, and we did not escape. Luckily, they let us out. And usually, you have in an escape room, you have an hour to figure your way out. And we got all the way to the end. We got the code for the safe, and we put the safe code in. But there was a trick to the safe code, so we didn't escape. I had to hold up a sign that said, "Just didn't have the brains to do it," or something like that. I didn't have the mind to do it. But in that escape room, man, they tore that room apart looking for clues. I mean, they turned the couch upside down. They turned rugs upside down. They were trying to pick up a desk and turn it upside down until the people and the speaker says, "Don't turn the desk upside down." They were afraid that we were going to hurt it or something or another, because they're people that gives you clues if you want it. And we sought and we sought and we sought and we sought. And you know what? We enjoyed ourselves. Nothing compared to what's in the Word of God. I wonder how many times we have sought and sought and sought for financial gain, for the right. I like finding good deals. Sometimes I'll spend so much time looking to save a few dollars, which is not a bad thing, but I wasted so much time it wasn't worth saving just the few dollars. But we seek and seek and seek and seek and seek. I wonder if we would apply that to the scriptures, how many hid treasures we would find. Solomon here compares this search for a buried treasure. If we believe there was a treasure, and I know you have used this illustration before, but if we believe there was a treasure in this church, say there was $1 million somewhere, I think we would all be looking for it, wouldn't we? We'd all be seeking it. And probably none of us would go home till somebody found it, because we're going to seek it persistently, because there's a treasure in our heart. There's a treasure there that we want. If we use the Bible that way, he's saying we're going to understand the fear of the Lord, that we are going to understand what it means to fear the Lord. Let's keep on going. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. So here's the next thing. Not only do we pray with intensity and pray with persistence, I think we're supposed to pray with expectancy. We're expecting God to answer. So we've gone through and we've done these things. Now, God, you've promised me here that I'm going to understand the fear of the Lord. Now, I know it's praying with intensity, and I know it's praying with persistency, but I think we need to expect. Remember last year, one of the last messages we talked about in the summer series was in the book of James. We talked about how James and Proverbs are similar. And we talked about that verse, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And what's that last phrase? And it shall be given him. It's a promise. If you ask and you seek and you believe, asking in faith, it shall be given him. And that was our theme last year, was by faith, you know, get wisdom. And so it's the thought here that so many times if we do verses 1, 2, and then we are 3 and 4, we're crying out to God, and I said, if we don't have a clear answer, do what you think is best, because by this point in time, you're living for the Lord, you're in your Bible, you've been praying to God, and sometimes it seems still foggy or clear, just go ahead and head down that path. God can close the door if you're sensitive, if he needs to. We need to ask things with expecting that God's going to answer. Wisdom comes to those who expect God to provide it. So, when's the last time you asked for wisdom? If any of you lack wisdom, to be honest with you, I think in some forms, I know some men in this room are very, very intelligent, and I'm humbled sometimes listening to talk to them because I don't have any clue what they're talking about. But if I know I need wisdom, and I think it's something that should be on our prayer list, wisdom. And I know that there's ladies that are very intelligent and very smart and things that they can teach people. But it's more than just knowledge. Wisdom comes from God. There's a man I know that I used to go to, he used to be one of my Sunday school teachers. I don't think he ever graduated from high school. But he was one of the wisest men I have ever met. Very intelligent. Knew the word of God, could speak the word of God. And when I told him I was going to be a pastor, he asked me a couple questions that I had no clue what he was talking about. And he said, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this? And, you know, me thinking I'm really smart, Bible college, I gave him some answers. But he knew about the Bible. It wasn't the fact he had a college education or a PhD. I think it's because of the fact that he received the words and he hid the words. And boy, he would listen when you preach. And I remember sitting and watching him at times, and you could sit there, and he was intent. He was in whatever was going on. And I also heard him pray. And there's sometimes when you hear people pray, you're thinking, man, they've done that before. They've talked to God recently. And I'm not lifting any one person up. I'm not. But I'm saying it doesn't matter your educational level, maybe even your intake level when it comes to being intelligent. The Bible says, for the Lord giveth wisdom in verse number 6. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. If you have an understanding of the fear of the Lord, you are so much farther ahead of anyone who does not know about God. Now, I know that there could be people in this room that have doctorate degrees and they're super smart in certain things and other things. But if they don't understand the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, as it said in Job, as we mentioned earlier, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. It means that not only are you receiving the wisdom, you're applying it, you're departing from the evil. That means you understand the fear of the Lord. That means you get what you've been learning. We can all have Bible knowledge, and I've seen kids in our Bible quizzing program that could quote chapters of the Bible, but if they never applied it to their heart, they never got the fear of the Lord. They had a bunch of book knowledge, and I think that book knowledge is good. I think they should continue on learning, but the greater knowledge is an understanding of the fear of the Lord. Because for the Lord giveth wisdom. Look what it says in verse number 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, we know God is omnipotent. And God knows everything. Will we know that? No, but we will know everything we need to know to do God's will. Do you want that? I want that. I want that really bad. When you get to be in charge of a lot of things, sometimes people look at that and say, you're lucky you get to be in charge of everything. But at the same time, you want wisdom with that. You don't want to have people being busy just to be busy, just so you can be as busy as beavers, but never accomplishing anything. That's where wisdom comes in. That's where wisdom begins. So, my encouragement for tonight, and what the point of tonight is, don't we want to understand who God is? Don't we understand the fear of the Lord? Because that's where wisdom begins. And don't we want the knowledge of God in our lives? How many of us are facing a situation that we can't figure out? I know I am. How many of us are saying, I wish I knew what to say or what to do in this situation? I know I am. And young or old, if we can take these principles, I think that we will begin to understand the fear of the Lord. And we can find that knowledge. Because verse number 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Do we want to understand? I want to understand. I don't always understand why everything happens the way it's supposed to. I stood there with Scott Lawrence today and stood around with some of his family. And sometimes there's no answers. And sometimes it's just being there needs to help. And I sit there in the day and time we live in and know that if we fear the Lord, he'll give us wisdom. He'll help us understand what can be said and what needs to be said. Many times we just talk to talk, and we just hear ourselves talk, and there's no wisdom coming out. Just because we're supposed to say something, it doesn't have to be that way. If you get thirsty and say, you know what? I want to know the Bible better. I want to understand the fear of the Lord. I want the wisdom of God. These are the things. Receive the word of God. Hide it in your heart. Incline your ear. Listen to it. And then apply it to your life. That's the beginning. Now cry out to God for it. Ask God for it. So does that describe your devotional life or your Bible reading life or your Bible knowledge life? If not, let me encourage you to get thirsty for it, to want to know more. Because what greater knowledge can we have than the knowledge of God? What greater pursuit can we have than pursuing after him? Is there any greater thing we can have than having a greater knowledge of who God is and what God wants us to do? Because that's exactly what the fear of the Lord is, what the Lord wants us to do. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.